Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. It's May, and that means graduation time for thousands of college seniors across the country. And as they start their working careers and they get into a labor market where unemployment is still high, a lot of them, and I'm sure a lot of their parents, may be asking the question, is a college degree really worth the cost? Total student debt is about $1 trillion. It's second to mortgage debt. And this amount has tripled since 2004. With me are regular contributors Joe Serra with The New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. And Joe, Rana, with the cost of college really skyrocketing, you know, it means that more students have to take on more debt to earn those degrees. Simply put, is a college degree worth the debt?
Well, I think it's a question absolutely worth asking. It's also compounded by the fact that these kids are coming out into a very sluggish job market in which they're going to make less than they would have comparatively, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. So that's another problem. They're never getting ahead of that debt. I will say that there's McKinsey research that shows that over the next 10 years, most of the jobs that are going to be created in this country will require at least a two-year degree, a community college degree. But interestingly, that's all they may require. And what I mean by that is that many of these jobs are going to be very technical. There are machinists, laser experts, healthcare technicians that have to know a lot about software. So it's not as
It's like the manufacturing jobs of this century.
It is, or you know, service jobs with a very high tech component. So we're not looking for a lot of Harvard English majors, to put it frankly. We are looking for a lot of people with very sort of skill oriented degrees.
Well, I'm not completely buying what Ron is selling. I think there are two separate issues that have gotten conflated. One is an issue of education and what its value is and whether you can get a better life. And the other is an issue of money. How much does college cost and how much what kind of burden do you have to take on to pay for it? On the education aspect, it is still completely true that if you have a college education, you will make more money ultimately than if you don't, and probably a lot more money. But the loan and the cost issue is something that the country needs to grapple with instead of simply accept. Why does Franklin and Marshall cost $55,000 a year? Why? Do you really get $55,000 a year worth? And the fact that we're larding up these loans, which cannot be discharged under bankruptcy or any other way, creates an overwhelming burden for the student and for the economy.
But it also sounds like you're implying there that not all degrees are created equal. And the institutions that you may be getting some of those degrees may not be equal in terms of the value that you pay for, that you as a student need to maybe evaluate, is this school worth taking on this much debt because what's the potential down the future?
Well, I don't really agree with that because I basically believe that people get the kind of education that they put into it. And if you go to North Carolina and you pay $7,700 and an in-state student, you'll get just as good an education as if you go to Harvard and you pay $60,000. So I don't really buy the, you know, some schools are worth more than other schools particularly.
If I can jump in there, though, I think it's an important point. I'm going to disagree with Joe on this one. It's not that the education is all that different necessarily, because I think that you're right about that. It's the club you're buying into. And I actually kind of misspoke earlier in saying we don't need any more Harvard English majors. I mean, Harvard English majors might do fine. Ball State English majors, I don't know. You know, I think it's partially about networks. And it's about if you're going to go to a second or third or fourth tier college, you better come out with some real marketable skills.
It feels like we're saying to people, oh, maybe you should reconsider the value of college. Because you're going to take on all the student debt, but we don't really know where the success of that student may be 20, 30 years down the road in their career.
Right. And one of the big problems is that so many people go to college, pile up debt, and don't finish.
Yeah.
And so at least half of this debt is people who didn't finish. So they've lost the benefit potential of college, and yet they're saddled with the downside, which is the debt.
That's a great point.
And that's the worst of both worlds, and that, I think, really exacerbates the whole problem.
Well, you know, at this point in the conversation, I'd usually ask you to tell me what you're looking ahead to for next week or the weeks ahead, but to stay on this education theme, are there particular trends or ideas that you're watching in the months and years ahead? Rana?
Well, you know, I'm going to pick up on Joe's point, which is a great one about helping kids finish school and also matching job possibilities with the skill set that they're being taught. And that's where I think you can really do great things by getting private employers involved in helping to shape curriculums. I'm not saying I want, you know, Microsoft U. But I think that smart companies, and I know IBM does a lot of this in schools in New York and elsewhere, coming in saying this is the kind of person we're looking for, not even just this is the skill set we're looking for, but we want someone that can present themselves in a certain way, that can communicate in a certain way, that has certain speech skills, and then mentoring those kids and helping them finish.
Well, that's exactly what Cornell is doing here in New York with their new tech school, their new graduate applied sciences school, where they're having businesses come directly into the school and work with the students on projects. And it's very much this public-private partnership. They're learning from working with businesses and creating real-world applicable products. And at the same time, the businesses are learning from the applied research. Joe, what are you looking ahead to?
Well, I'm looking still at K through 12, which I've written a lot about and which I, you know, is much more troubled than universities, let's face it. There's an organization in New York called Turnabout for Children, which does miraculous things in terms of getting their programs in the school, and they offer kind of social services for the students and, you know, help teachers teach teachers techniques to control classrooms and really provide an almost a psychiatric environment to allow troubled kids to thrive. It's been a big success in the schools that it's been used in New York and to some extent in Washington. And the federal government has really started to get interested in this essential idea, which is, you know, create a system that helps troubled kids instead of kicks them out and causes them to be even more trouble and disrupts the classes and disrupts the schools. And so what's going on now is a question of, you know, will this kind of idea start to get integrated in Race to the Top and various other federal efforts, and can that be a real difference maker in large urban school districts?
Well, we'll be watching those stories and really all the week's financial news as well at wnyc.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Joe Nocera with The New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine, thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.